why I was in Macy's for the first time in like 5 years, I can't even remember, but I was like, man, I haven't been in an department store for a minute. I ended up wandering through the furniture department, the bedding and furniture, and all of a sudden, here's this coffee table, and I'm like, what is going on there? Because it has the black glass top, and it's got all these buttons. It's like touch. You just touch the glass, and it responds. And pretty soon, I was jamming Alan Parsons Project, I Wouldn't Want to Be Like You, in the middle of Macy's, from my phone to this coffee table, and I had it up full blast.
Wait, it was playing like from the table?
Yeah, it plays from the coffee table from my phone, Bluetooth.
You know what I love about that story? That you wandered into the bedding department at Macy's. What 52-year-old man wanders into a bedding department?
What? You talk about low-hanging fruit?
Which you were clearly doing your usual drinking at 10 in the morning, and by 11:30 you needed a nap. And you said, let me go up to the bedding department. And the manager's like, oh, Christ, it's Jason Carr again. last time he soiled the mattress, he just was so drunk.
All right, that's my good friend Jason Carr. He's a news anchor and TV host out in Detroit. When I go out there and perform, I always go on a show, and it's such a great time. I wanted to have him on my show. He makes me laugh because makes me silly, and that's us talking about, you know, just him wandering around Macy's and looking at bedding. I don't know why, but before we get to the full interview, I am going to be in Royal Oak, Michigan, Detroit. And I'm going to be seeing him next week, October 12th to the 14th at the Comedy Castle. So if you're in the area, come see me and hang out and have some laughs. That's Thursday to Saturday, October 12th to the 14th. Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. You can go online for tickets or to their website or my website, paulmercurio.com. Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle, October 12th to the 14th. A couple little things. Fruit flies. We have fruit flies in the apartment, and I noticed they fly very slowly. You can kill them instantly. They're not like a fly. Now, fruit flies, like a fly, is fast, and they like literally eat shit or anything, and they're just buzzing around really fast. Fruit flies move very slowly, and they're eating fruit, which is supposed to be good for you. You know, they're supposed to be lean and mean, and you eat. I'm not seeing it. You know, you'd be better off. I think that argues eat, you know, Chips Ahoy cookies and Haagen-Dazs and pizza. Why eat fruit? You're going to move slower eating fruit. Look at the fruit fly versus the fly that eats shit. You could eat shit, you'd be better. I think you get the point. And also be careful of scammers. Somebody tried to scam me on Facebook Marketplace. I was selling something. I was really excited. Like, I should have known, because it was like 5 hours after I put it up. The guy's like, I want it. Didn't even negotiate the price. I want him to pay cash. He's like, I don't have cash. I'm out of town. My brother's going to pick it up for me. He can't get the cash. How about Zelle? I said, okay. And he kept asking me for my email. And I said, you don't need my email, because we signed up using our cell. And he kept insisting and insisting. And then I had to call the bank and Zelle and everything else. And then I finally just said, look, you wanted two choices. You can pay me through Zelle using the cell number I gave you, or cash. But this back and forth is over. You got 20 minutes to decide. And then, of course, I never heard from him again. But I did write back and say, nice try trying to scam me. Ha, ha, ha. Be smarter the next time. So that felt good. All right. Enjoy Jason Carr. Great guy. A lot of fun. And hopefully see you guys at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle, October 12th to the 14th.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. Very good, dear friend of mine. Finally got on the show. Mr. Jason Carr, a Emmy award-winning journalist from the Detroit area, currently has a really great live stream show called Jason Carr Drive, which I was just on. And it's, you can see his studio. He's got a turntable. He's old school. And whenever I worked in Detroit at Royal Oak, Michigan, at the Comedy Castle, I used to go in and hang out with Jason at the local station. And I've been doing it for years, and we became friends, and we'll text and joke, and that's our background. And we're just two buddies that like to make each other laugh and act silly. So welcome to the show, Jason Carr.
Yeah, you know, I can't help but notice that my sign's backwards. So I'm going to have to readjust my camera shot here and include some more Tropicana behind me to kind of mitigate the effects of the backwards lettering. You know, you think that almost three decades, just shy of 30 years in broadcasting, I would have thought, you know, when you do the, you know, the reverse thing that anyway, I have to ask, why do you have me on your podcast? Nobody out there watching or listening knows who I am.
That's not, doesn't make a difference. I have people on I had the woman on that got almost killed in a Ted Bundy attack. Okay. Like I have, I'm desperate. I'm desperate for guests. There's been a strike. No, I always just have fun with you. Like I couldn't even get through the intro without laughing. I don't know. You make me laugh and it's, and I've been wanting, and you've always had me on your shows and that was always nice of you. And I just wanted to have you on and, you know, I owe you money and I'm trying to avoid having to pay the money. So I'm doing this instead.
Hey, Moose, Rocco, help Paul find his checkbook, will you?
So you're on the show. And don't sell yourself short because now people are going to tune out going, well, if this guy doesn't think he should be on the show, why the fuck am I going to watch him? You're the worst PR guy for yourself. Don't look at my background. That's wrong. Put your hand over the camera and then say, why am I on?
Well, I know why I'm on. It's because you couldn't bring George Gobel back from the dead. And if any of you watching or listening right now gets the George Gobel reference, then I need you among my viewers on Jason Carr Drive weekdays at 9 a.m. on Facebook.
So there was I'm sure it's on YouTube. In the day, Carson, one thing I loved about the Carson show was that he would have the guests come out and they'd stay out. And they interact with each other sometimes and we made it fun. We don't do that now. I mean, I work on the Late Show and you're in. And I've been a guest on the show too. You come, you sit in the chair, you go, next guest. So one night, this is the lineup. Bob Hope, first. Dean Martin, second, not first, with the tumbler and the cigarette. And then George Gobel comes out.
So I know exactly where you're going. I know exactly where you're going with this. I've seen the clip probably 100 times.
I should tell it, though, so people know what we're talking about, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So Gobel is sitting there with Johnny. And, you know, for those who know, he's from the Midwest, very dry sense of humor, but self-deprecating. And he has this one famous joke, like, do you ever feel like the world is a black tuxedo and you're a pair of brown shoes, right? So he says that and whatever. So there's what they call a two-shot, which is basically just what it sounds like. So the camera's shooting Johnny and his guest in the chair. You don't see the other two guests who are next to Gobel. So Gobel says that. And then all of a sudden, into frame, comes Dean Martin's hand. And he's got a cigarette. And he just flicks, because Gobel had a drink in his hand. He flicks the cigarette in the drink and he pulls it away. And the place starts going crazy, right? And Johnny's trying not to laugh, right? And Gobel doesn't know what's going on. So he tells another joke. And these are just okay jokes. But flick again, and the place is going crazy. Even Gobel's looking around like, these jokes aren't that good. Why are you all laughing so hard? It was the best.
What am I missing?
No, the entire country was in on the joke except for him. That was the best. I saw one the other night too with Dom DeLuise. He had some egg trick that he did. This was like, it must have been the mid to late 70s, and Johnny just went nuts and he started taking the eggs and throwing them at him. And then he took an egg and he shoved it down Dom DeLuise's pants and smashed it. And then Dom did it to him. It was just great.
You know what I always loved about having you on one of my talk shows here in Detroit? And I feel like you and I go back like darn near 13, 14, 15 years. And every time you come to town to play Ridley's, you know, you're on. And I always make sure I tell the producer, we got to have Paul Mercurio on. You know, he always brings the funny. And for anybody who's familiar with this podcast, meaning yours, listening or watching, you know that Paul's a great storyteller and a riotously funny guy. But I can't count how many times we would have a comedian on, and some of them names would come on the show, and I would try to set them up, like, because I love doing that. Putting it on a tee and watching somebody whose craft is comedy knock it out of the park. And I'm like, you aren't being funny right now. You didn't bring the funny today. Of course, I don't say that. I'm thinking it. And I would later find out that there are some working comics, funny people, who save it for the show. Like, they don't think it's their job to come on a morning radio show or a morning TV talk show locally and be funny, because that's why you need to come out to the club to see them. Like, nobody's going to come to the club to see you if you don't bring the funny on the show. And you do.
Well, yeah, thank you. And you're right. I'm great. And they all suck. the thing about that is, then why go on the radio show or go on the TV show, right? The reason you go on is because it helps promote the show. And, you know, in my case, I keep coming back to your show because it's so fun and we just get so stupid together on the air. Like, we can't get through a sentence and then you say something and it never goes the way I planned and I don't care. And I can't tell you the number of times I've almost said the word fuck on your show on live TV because I'm so comfortable. Like, I'm hanging out with a buddy and like, and I had to touch myself. It's very rare. I do it all over the country and I'm not kissing your ass. Like, it's very rare that, you know, like one time I went on, I think I was on CNN actually, and I was doing something and they knew I was a comedian and I did some topical stuff in the news and the anchor would be like, it's a joke, you know, and my jokes aren't like, you know, ba-dum-bum. It's like I try to put some thought into it and have it relate.
It's observational. It's almost like stream of consciousness.
But it was also tied into the subjects that they were talking about on CNN. And like, so the anchor, this is, it goes like this. So I'd say the joke. And so then the guy just closed the door on him. Ooh, that's it. Was your reaction? Ooh, like that's not what you want to hear. You want to just laugh or just look down at your stupid notes, but don't fucking like. But you get it, like you so get like just the back and forth, and there's not a lot of hosts and anchors that can do that. So and I've heard that about some comics. Then don't go on the show. You're there to move tickets. You're there to sell, let them drive the car for a little bit. All right. You're not so precious. You're not, okay. You're not the George Carlin or Lenny Bruce. Like, just do your little joke about meatballs and then just shut up and go home, go back to your room. Right. Like, that's kind of what it is. So it's like not complicated. And then, you know, because I go on so much with you, I try to keep track of like what I do so I don't repeat things, you know.
Well, sure. And, you're also very good about, you know, making room for the host, whether it's a morning radio jock or, you know, a TV talk show host, like, you know, in my case.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, let's talk about music.
You don't, you know, kidnap or abduct the show and start turning it into a commercial and saying the name of the comedy club every 5 minutes. I mean, nothing grinds my gears. Nothing grinds my gears rather than shameless promotion. You know, for one show, just because you're on this platform, and that's not a good shot. Hang on. Just because you're on, you know, something that, you know, you have to shamelessly plug the name of the club or the show that you're on.
By the way, what are you like?
I hate that.
How big of a container is that? How often are you going to the bathroom during the course of the day? That's massive. It's like a 32 gallon drum.
It has to be for the billboard effect. Even though it's backwards.
Go ahead. If you finish, go ahead.
No, I'm more intrigued with what you're going to say. You did what?
So I know you, but like, you know, there's some things I don't know about you. So like, you know, like I typically do, I'll do a little research and stuff and like look things up. And I know you grew up in Detroit. You lived in Plymouth, Mass for a while. Is that right? Is that?
No, Plymouth, Michigan. It's a suburb outside Detroit. Yeah.
I thought I read Mass. And so, and then you went into Brooklyn. Did you tell me about like, cause you worked in news, you worked in Lansing, right? You worked in Flint. Like, when you're a Cub reporter, I hear stories about like when you get assigned to these like little stories in the beginning, what was that like? Did you have any that were like, just, oh, go cover the bats in a cave somewhere or something, like just like really terrible stuff that you had to do or something laughable or crazy that happened?
This is going to sound, and you know me, so you know I'm not pretentious, but this is going to sound a little pretentious. There are no small roles, just small actors. Mm. And yeah, were there those stories, the water skiing squirrel type stories that, you know, that I would have to go on. I did those so well that I kind of made a name for myself as being that funny feature reporter guy that it seems that every television market across the country has got that one guy. For a long time in Minneapolis and later California, there was a guy named Steve Hartman who ended up on CBS National.
Yeah, you know, I think I remember that name.
Yeah, Jeannie Most on CNN, Bill Geist, Willie Geist's dad. He was on CBS for a long time.
Can I just say something? You have a nicer ass than Jeannie Most. That's all I'm going to say. But go ahead.
Should I ever end up on her podcast, I won't tell her. But I will make sure that my lettering and my writing is right.
Your name is it backwards.
Yes, I did have to. I will tell you two, and you know me. I don't really like to turn things serious, so we can just kind of touch on this and move on. But one was in the wake of the JonBenet Ramsey case. You'll recall that the family had a home in northern Michigan. And at that point, I was in the Traverse City market, and my news director sent me to, quote unquote, stake out Charlevoix and see if I could find anything out. Well, of course, the farther you get away from a city center and out into the rich suburbs or your enclaves like a Charlevoix, Michigan, the less people want to talk, especially to, you know, media. So that was a bust. But, you know, I had to. You know, the boss says jump, you say how high? So I had to go do that. I don't remember how many days I wasted just kind of kicking around Charlevoix trying to come up with something about, you know, that whole situation. And then I'll never forget this. 9/11 happened, and there was that urban legend, apocryphal story. As soon as I start telling it, you'll remember the guy who surfed the rubble down as the tower fell or the towers fell and lived to tell the tale. That was one of the very first Snopes.com type things to come out of 9/11. And I remember here I am in Flint, Michigan, and my assignment editor, that was his idea of how I should spend my workday that day, was trying to find out whether that was true or not. From Flint, Michigan, shortly after 9/11. I was supposed to find out whether a guy had actually surfed the rubble down and lived and, you know, to tell the tale. So those would be two things that I can remember from early in my career that actually happened. Both are true.
Did you like know you wanted to be a broadcaster where you were like, you went to broadcast school and
I went to Michigan State and I broadcast journalism. I have a Bachelor of Arts. My resume will follow. Don't ask for my transcripts. They're terrible. But yeah,
no, that's not true. But I want to interrupt you because I told you I did some research and these are some of the things, like, there's nothing really much about you. So here's some of the things. Jason Carr is a very distinguished, successful, and famous personality. He is an American journalist, anchor, and television news presenter.
Oh, presenter. Was this written by a Brit?
That's what it was, written by somebody who's like an Indian person in India. I don't know. And then this is my favorite one of all: a family man, and as far as his height is concerned, a man of average stature. They say you're 5'9", which is what I am, and it's like, and then they say something about you were raised in Plymouth, whatever, and. Some of these sites are so funny because they just are grabbing for anything that they can say about the person.
Oh my God, they're ridiculous. They're just bots, just AI bots, just grabbing random details and trying to assemble them into something that makes sense. By the way, since you did bring up presenting, which is what they call news people in Great Britain and foggy London town, this portion of the Paul Mercurio podcast is being brought to you by Marmite, the yeast extract that tastes like beef bouillon if it were a paste. If you love toast, Marmite is where it's at, and it's not normally backwards. So
wait, let me see that.
We have British friends who let me try this live on camera on my show last week for the first time. And Paul, I got to tell you, I'm in love.
None of your stuff is backwards. It's coming. We're seeing it fine. Your face.
So I'm seeing it backwards, but you're seeing it fine. You're waiting until 20 minutes in to tell me that everything looks just fine. Well, in that case, this is also being brought up.
Now, your face is backwards. It looks like an ass. Your face looks like your ass. And so there's that. Everything is backwards.
Oh, that's too easy on you.
By the way, you, like, for a guy who's been broadcasting and communicating to the world for 30 years, you suck at texting. You really do. So I'm texting you. No, listen to this. Wait.
Me? So, me? No. I suck at texting.
Yeah, wait. Yeah. Hang on a second. Congrats.
Are you?
You said to me, congrats on returning to work. About time you stop schlepping around doing formal local newscasters live streams. And I say, ha ha ha. My craft services will be billing you for all the Perrier you drank remotely. And then here's where this is, you suck at communicating. And this is why I don't like texting. Now listen, everybody watching and listening, here's the quote. This is me texting Jason at 6:32 in the morning this morning. Did you see my text over the weekend? Because I had sent you a text over the weekend about doing my show at 6 today. So you have enough time to be done and take your daughter, blah, blah, blah. I did. That was all you said was I did. I saw it. You didn't tell me if you were going to do it or not. Like, what? How do I do? So you made me write. Go ahead.
Who texts somebody who's semi-retired on the beach, as they say in broadcasting for the time being? Who knows what the future holds? But right now, I'm on the beach, and you texted me at 6:30 in the morning. I have texted you quality comedy material that pops into my head from time to time, and I get nothing back.
That's not true. By, I know. You're not going to try to divert here. So I say, did you see my text? And you say, I did. And then the right? That's what the and. So then I have to write, okay, so we're good for 6 o'clock tonight. So you make me write a second freaking sentence. And then your answer is yes. That's it. That was it. Like a little snippy, like, yes, like talk to my publicist. And then, obviously, you don't listen. I'll send you a Zoom link this afternoon. That's what I wrote. Okay? I send you the link, like, I don't know, 2 o'clock.
I was looking at my professional email, not
Wait,
my personal.
Hang on a second there, buddy. And then what do I get? Like 5 minutes before we go on? Link? Question mark? Not even, could you send the link, please? Like, what am I? You're like prison boy? Like, what is this? And then I email that we get on the thing. So I think you need to clean that whole texting thing up. Did you?
It's overcast. It's overcast wherever you are suddenly.
you really had to see my face when I said, did you get my text? And you wrote, I did. I went like this. I went, are you fucking kidding me? I literally went like that. Oh, my God. Too much. So did you get your carpet put in? You were getting carpeting put in.
No, but I did get, you don't know this, but I don't know when this, infotainment spectacular is going to drop, as the kids say, that the youth
this is gonna
say
drop
today.
Tomorrow. It's going to drop tomorrow.
On October 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's my birthday. So
tomorrow's your birthday.
Yeah, October 3rd is my birthday.
Let me read to you what they said about your birthday in the Wicca suck.
See how I set you up?
No, it's perfect because although there's some speculation on his age, Jason has chosen not to reveal his date of birth. That's what they wrote about you.
Because I thought you were doing a bit. That's for real?
That's for real. I started reading this and I pulled, just you start pulling it. Jason Carr, height, weight, measurements. Height, 5'10", which is, by the way, 1.78 meters. Weight, not applicable. Apparently, you have no weight. I swear to God, I'm not making this up. Hang on one second, right? And here, just the way I want to do this. Because I was just like, you know, I mean, I know him, but like, you know, let's talk. I was like, well, I don't know. We'll talk about a bunch of different stuff, whatever. And then this. And so apparently you have no weight. Your eye color is hazel. And that's your true. Hair color is brown. Thanks to Hair Club for Men. And
listen, are you sure your show's not sponsored by Kiwi Shoe Polish? What's going on over there? How did you get to be your age, which is slightly older than me, by the way, and not have a single gray on your head? That's amazing.
I do have a little gray. And it's in all seriousness, it's from my mother. My mother didn't have a gray hair in her head until she was in her 70s. She was an asshole from the age of 32, but she didn't have a gray hair in the head until she was in her 70s. What are you going to do for your birthday?
I'm flying to New York to take your mom thrifting. We're going to hit the we're gonna dumpster dive behind the what do you have there? Do you have a Piggly Wiggly or Winn-Dixie or what do you have in New York?
We got the Gristini supermarket, Gristini's. And you'll be with my mother. She goes, no, Jason, not that one. That head of lettuce. That head of lettuce is better than this. No, get over there. Get over there. So my mother, you know, my mother tripped and she's 95 and she broke her wrist. She broke her wrist because what she tripped on? She decided she was going to put on the grass to make it safer. Rubber mats, rubber mats that like you put in walkways, but she put it on the grass. And all it did was, what did she do? Because she was worried that the grass was uneven. So instead, she replaced the uneven grass with edges of rubber, and she tripped on one of the edges of rubber.
Come on.
I swear to God, she broke her wrist. Yeah. And, she's fine. She's gonna live to be 110 just to fucking spite me. And
if you think I'm joking, I am making it my way to New York. Of course, I'm going to hit you up for tickets to the show, but whenever it's convenient. I don't want to inconvenience you because you're a very important person in show business, and I'm just a small guy in flyover country. But when I come,
no, you're not. Hang on, let me look at something. So maybe like the weekend of the 27th and 28th. I think that would be a good weekend for you to come. I'll be out of town, so you should come that weekend. Do have a great time. We're not taping the show then, but you could stand outside the marquee and Paul, yeah, come. It'll be great. We'll go. My wife will come out. We'll hang out. You'll pick up the check because you have all these sponsors. Marmite.
Wait, is this payback for when you come to town in 2 weeks at Ridley's Comedy Castle and you're going to stay at my house?
I'm staying at your house. I'm taking you out for your birthday.
Oh, hey, that works.
The Hilton Garden Inn, they have a free breakfast. So you come over for that. All the sausage and pancakes you want.
Continental breakfast. And Jason, for your birthday, I have spared no expense in presenting to you a lobby continental breakfast courtesy of Hilton Garden.
So you should come. It would be great if you came. Seriously.
I'm going to put one on the tee for you again because I'm really good at setting you up. Guess what the wife got me for my birthday? Do you have any clue?
I want to say
he's really thinking.
A Barry Manilow LP for that turntable.
You had to put your glasses on to think of Barry Manilow. It's the gift that gives to the entire household. We do a lot of entertaining here at the house, and so it's like she kind of benefits from the gift too. She got me a coffee table that it looks like it's out of the Jetsons. It's a refrigerator, a power bank, USB. It lights up with LED. It's got storage, and it's a giant Bluetooth speaker for your Alexa. But it's a coffee table. That's what I got for my 53rd birthday.
53? What are you, a 20-year-old frat boy? That's what you have in a frat. Where's the holder for the weed? Is there a weed holder anywhere?
That's the side drawer.
Is there
That's the add-on option.
Is there a bucket for hurling after you chug too many beers so you don't have to get up off the couch? That's awesome. Where did she find that?
It is, and this is not a product plug. This vendor, this brand, this company has nothing to do with the Paul Mercurio podcast nor Jason Car Drive, but it's called the So Bro, which how perfect is that? S-O-B-R-O, the Sobro coffee table. You can find it online. It is a white lacquer with black glass top. Like I said, looks like it's from Austin Powers or the Jetsons from the Space Age Bachelor Pad. And it has a refrigerator drawer, two drawers for storage, and speakers for the Bluetooth for your phone or for the Alexa or whatever. And then it lights up and it has power strips and USB ports and aux inputs. And it does everything but wash your socks.
So you have to have it plugged in somewhere, right? There's got to be a plug running from it. And did you ask for this? Did you want this? It's a great gift.
I had stumbled across it at Macy's department store. I was in Macy's for the first time in like 5 years. I can't even remember, but I was like, man, I haven't been in a department store for a minute. This is like, I'm at, what was the Miracle on 34th Street? Department store.
Gimbel's at Macy's.
Gimbel's. It's like I'm in Gimbel's and I'm wandering around and I felt like Buddy the Elf after hours because there was nobody else in there but me. And I ended up wandering through the furniture department, the bedding and furniture, and all of a sudden, here's this coffee table, and I'm like, what is going on there? Because it has the black glass top, and it's got all these buttons. It's like touch. You just touch the glass, and it responds. And pretty soon, I was jamming Alan Parsons Project, I Wouldn't Want to Be Like You, in the middle of Macy's, from my phone to this coffee table, and I had it up full blast.
Wait, it was playing from the table?
Yeah, it plays from the coffee table from my phone, Bluetooth.
Wow.
And I'm like, damn, this thing's pretty cool. So I texted Taryn, that's my wife, and I said, what do you think about this for the at-home car bar, which is what we call the, you know, the converted family room into a lounge patio deal at our house. And she said, that's pretty cool. Let me look it up online. And then we really didn't talk about it further. And then all of a sudden, here it is Saturday morning for my birthday.
That's a good way. You know what I love about that story? That you wandered into the bedding department at Macy's. What 52-year-old man wanders into a bedding department?
Dude, what? You talk about low-hanging fruit?
Which you were clearly doing your usual drinking at 10 in the morning, and by 11:30, you needed a nap. And you said, let me go up to the bedding department. And the manager's like, oh, Christ, it's Jason Carr again. last time he soiled a mattress, he just was so drunk. I love that you wandered into the. There's what would you want? Like, you know what? I just love to peruse headboards. I wanted to see what the newest headboard was that they had. I want to see this. I want to see this table now. I'm jealous.
You will when you come. When are you at Ridley's? Shameless plug alert.
October 12th to the 14th. So we're taping this the week before. So about a week and a half. So, and I get in late the night of the 11th. We tape at the late show, and then I get on a plane, and then I go to that crazy big airport, and then I have to with the thing, and then go a lot of travel. But I do it for Detroit, my people.
That airport takes massive. A lot of heat. Yeah, Detroit takes a lot of heat nationally. Some punk on TikTok like 2 weeks ago. I'm on my Instagram Reels. That's TikTok for old people. Huh? Get off my lawn. So I'm scrolling Reels, and all of a sudden here's this punk somewhere at Brooklyn, I don't know, Austin, Portland. And he's out on the street, and he's doing man on the street interviews with fellow Zoomers, millennials, whatever. And they're like, oh God, Detroit. And then his next question was, have you ever been there? And not one of them could say yes, but Detroit, if you've never been, is it, we're hip now, like Brooklyn was or is hip. We're hip now, like Austin was or is hip. Portlandia, you know, I could go on and on, but
it's been the city's been, you know, completely, you know, done over. All of the bad elements been buried in the sand somewhere, from what I understand, which is, you know, that works. And it is. It's a very hip place.
Quite. We still have our areas, just like any major city does. But
one of the coolest things that you can do in Detroit that people don't know, I know from going, is you go to Macy's and you shop the bedding department. It is.
You had me. I was like, I'm like the big bass that can't resist the plastic worm that sounds like or smells like licorice. And I'm all dialed in, like, what's Paul going to say that's good about Detroit? And then you come up with Macy's headboard shopping. Thanks a lot.
So where was that pizza place you took me? And we got those really great slices of pizza, like fresh in the foil. We were driving in the car.
Okay, so important consideration, and we don't want to get too far in the weeds on this because we will lose your national audience of 2.3 million people that listen to this. But in Detroit, there is something called Detroit-style pizza. It's a very specific thing, just like there's New York style and Chicago style. In Detroit, we have our style. But I'm not talking about Detroit-style pizza when I described the pizza I took Paul to. That's in a strip mall in a liquor store, and it's called Tanya's Pizza, and it's a stuffed pizza that I had you try. And only Tanya's is Tanya's, not to be confused with multiple places where you can get Detroit-style pizza, just like in Chicago. There's Pizzeria Uno and Lou Malnati's or, you know, what have you. But yeah, Tanya's is just one of those outlier, like just very specific things. And sometimes the best food is at a gas station or a liquor store. At least it is these days. It wasn't back in the day.
And just so you understand the level of our friendship, I travel all the way to Detroit and he takes me to a liquor store in a strip mall for a slice of pizza, which is why you, buddy, are going to get a breakfast at the Hilton Garden Inn lobby. You can get Lucky Charms. You can get that watered down thing that they call orange juice that I think is just Tang. You know what this is? Marmite. So wait, what is it? It's a paste that goes on toast? Let me look at it.
It has been described. It's been described as, what if you could ground up beef bouillon cubes into a moist paste that you could spread on toast? It is pure umami, that flavor that nobody, you know, that profile that nobody had heard of prior to like maybe 25 years ago. And now everybody thinks it's like your sixth taste sense or whatever. But yeah, all it is yeast extract, barley, wheat, oats, rye, salt, vegetable juice, vitamins, blah, 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 blah. It's vegan. Do not refrigerate. And it literally tastes like beef bouillon spread on toast.
Okay. It's vegan. I'm not going to eat it because vegans annoy me. No. By the way, I want the viewers and listeners to get a peek behind. You're a very successful news anchor in a major market. You've been there for 30 years. Everybody and comics know you from going through, you know, and they talk about you. It's like, you know, they'll say stuff like, did you sleep through Jason Carr's show the way I did? And I'm like, wait, why would you say that? He's a nice guy and he doesn't use hair polish like I do. So let's take a peek into that science experiment that is the inside of your car. What the fuck? You have a really nice car, but your wife should have gotten you a vacuum and some, like, there was stuff everywhere on the floor, and there's a lot of crumbs. A lot of crumbs.
Yes, it is. Due to a poor timing, I was not able to have my personal detail staff get to it before your arrival the last time that I came and got you and took you for pizza. So yes, the car was right. A little lacking on the inside.
So here was my afternoon of pizza. I basically got taken to a strip mall to get a piece of pizza in a liquor store. And while I was eating, a little mouse crawled up my leg that was sleeping in the back of his car with the family that they had a little mice. Yeah. It's a very nice car. I'm not going to say what it is, but it's a high-end car. The inside, that's a slumlord. You're a slumlord.
I will make sure, Paul, that when you're in town here in 10 days, that I will have an Uber or a Metro car pick you up, and I will stay home.
I want to come. And I told you I'll help you put the carpeting in. I'm good at putting carpeting in. I grew up putting carpeting in.
You're not staying at my house unless the carpeting is in. I'll even go to Macy's and get you new bedding so that you.
Oh, my God. If you come to New York, it's the Macy's. You will be so aroused. We might need to, like, your heart might stop. We might need to tell Taryn, like, we had to jolt. He was like, he didn't know what to do with himself. Then he ran into the pots and pans just to get off. You run into the pots and pans in the kitchen section and look at all the pans too. You're a little freak, my friend. And that's what I like about you.
Listen, I don't recall there being a green screen in your kitchen when you did my show with the dog and the missus behind you and the fake pizza that you cooked up on a Wonder Bread in a lickety split. Your chroma key must be blue because you're wearing chroma key green for a shirt. And that's a good sell. Cause like anybody who's thinking that you're like, it almost looks like you're somewhere on a beach and you can couldn't be if you had a green wall behind you.
Can I have a daiquiri, please? by the way, this is, it has been so crappy here with all the rain. This is like, just like wishful thinking. Like the whole thing is just, by the way, your setup is really cool and people should go tell people where they can go catch you. Facebook Live. Is it Mondays and Fridays at 9 a.m.?
It's very simple. I do Jason Carr Drive every weekday at 9 a.m. sharp on Facebook Live. My page on Facebook is at Jason Carr TV. Two R's in Carr, C-A-R-R, at Jason Carr TV. My show's archived, so like a podcast, you don't have to watch it live. You know, like this morning show, there's probably somebody that just got home from work and they're relaxing. Maybe they just had dinner. They open up their phone and they're watching something that I did 10 hours ago. But that's the beauty of it. Archiving on Facebook is that, you know, like a podcast, you can watch it on your time, on your schedule. But I do it every morning at 9 a.m. for an hour. And then Monday through Thursday at 9 p.m., just for funsies, I do something called Overdrive. It's like the show after the show kind of thing. I'm glad that you mentioned that, or at least set me up for that, because Overdrive, by the time people hear this, watch this Paul Mercurio show, this will have already been decided. But I did bracketology to figure out what the funniest movie of all time is. And you will be shocked. My viewers have come up tonight, Monday night, the 2nd of October. We're deciding the fourth to be in the final four. We've got the three. We're looking for the fourth. So by the time your show airs or people can see it, we will have decided our final four. The three so far, and I did it by decade. The Hangover, Vacation / Christmas Vacation as a mashup. I combined the two of them and said, okay, you can vote on the two of them together for the 80s. And My Cousin Vinny took out Dumb and Dumber.
Wow.
My Cousin Vinny took out, I believe it was either Vacation or My Cousin Vinny took out. Yeah, it was My Cousin Vinny took out Dumb and Dumber in the regional final. So the three so far are Hangover, Vacation, Christmas Vacation, and My Cousin Vinny. And then we're going to decide the funniest movie of 1970 to 1980. And we'll have decided that by the time this podcast airs.
70 to 80. Was it not the right time period? But what about Caddyshack?
Caddyshack was 1980. So that's in the mix. That was exactly 1980.
But it didn't make it to the top three, huh?
We haven't done it yet. The 70 to 80 is tonight, the 2nd of October. So like I say, by the time people watch the Paul Mercurio experiment.
You're doing four different decades.
Right. So I don't know who's going to take home, you know, because the 70s, heck, you've got Airplane, The Jerk, Blazing Saddles, Young Frankenstein. I'm getting all these off the top of my head. You know, you've got this murderer's row of 16 movies to choose from to get down to just one.
The Exorcist, hilarious. What do you want to do when you come to New York? You should start giving me a list of things you want to do.
Well, I would love to see, you know, obviously the show. I would love to go to work with you if possible. If not that, then I just like show up at the stage door and hope to get tickets.
That's not going to happen, but you can keep wishing. We have irregular t-shirts that I could give you. One sleeve.
You gave me a hat. My late show hat is around here somewhere.
Yeah. Nice to see that you wear it. I don't see it anywhere. Why don't you put it in?
Marmite gets more
play than my stupid hat. We got to get you a Gray's Papaya hot dog. Those are great hot dogs. I want you to mean Angel, lovely hooker on 12th Avenue, my favorite.
Your personal favorite?
Yeah, you know.
You know.
So you got breasts, but then a different thing down there. So you get two in one. And I'm picking up the tab, not you, my friend. And then.
Hey, thanks.
And then I'm going to get you a slice of pizza. There's a Subway platform, 60 feet below the surface of the earth, and there's a place that sells pizza. It's called Taryn's Pizza. And I'm just fucking with you.
I was going to say, are you sure you're not talking about somewhere where Gene Hackman and Ned Beatty are hanging out waiting to trap Superman? Where is he going with this?
Oh my God. So that would be fun if you came. Would you bring your wife? Would you bring Taryn? Would she come with you?
Well, it depends. If it was like a Friday heading into a weekend, because obviously she's a very important news anchor herself here in town. So I was thinking I'd come out in the morning and get there by lunchtime and not waste her time, see the show or whatever, and then come back the next day. But, we could do a weekend. That'd be cool too.
We don't tape on the weekends, so that's the only problem. So if you want to see the show, it's Monday through Thursday, but you come and we'll figure it out. And, what's on tap for the rest of the week? By the way, if you do come, you should bring a tuxedo because we might go somewhere formal. I might want to take you somewhere nice. There's a great Chinese restaurant down in Chinatown where they yell at you.
I was going to say, I still have my tuxedo shirt. You remember the t-shirt? Well, of course you remember. You got married in one of those, didn't you? The black t-shirt with the Dean Martin tux printed on it. Yeah.
You know, I've been watching Old Carson on Antenna. They call it Antenna TV Network out here. It's great. It holds up.
Oh, yeah. It's like Tubi, Roku. It's like those 1,000 cable channels you didn't even realize you had because A, they're not cable. B, they come with the TV. You're like, C, I didn't even know my TV had internet, and 1,200 channels, including like 500 music channels. And like,
hey, it's crazy. When I come, I want to do the show with you in your house if we could figure it out in your studio. But let's do a cooking segment and then let's all hell breaks loose, like flour everywhere. We'll throw eggs at each other. We should do a cooking segment on your show, the two of us.
Absolutely. You're going to come when you're in town, not next week, but the week after, you're going to come on to the show here and sit right next to me like you did. By the way, everybody who's watching and or listening to this Paul Mercurio infotainment experiment, you can go to at Jason Carr Drive and at Jason Carr TV on Facebook. Watch the show. You can scroll down and it'll say, if you look for it real close, it'll say like Jason was with special guest Paul Mercurio or something like that. And you click on that one. And Paul and I were in split screen. You were there in your kitchen and I was here. But you, my friend, when you come to town, you are actually going to sit right next to me right here.
Okay. I am excited. Can you reach it right there? Is your dog going to be there? Is your Violet, your dog going to be there? So cute.
Violet will be there.
And I'm going to be right next to you. Could you just not do what you've done in the past when we've been on air? Don't touch me inappropriately. We're on the air. I have standards. You know, the cameras, you reach over, you touch my knee. It's distracting, I must tell you.
How am I funny? Clown funny? How do I be?
you mentioned Pesci, by the way. And I you know, being Italian, because you're like my grandparents were minorities at the time. You know, they came from Italy and they were the immigrants and whatever. And then over time, like if you're a European immigrant, French, Italian, whatever, German, you assimilate into the majority. So like I'm like the white guy, so it's okay to say stuff about me and make fun of me or whatever. But I've got to be careful because I'm the majority, so I can't say things about certain races. But I got this friend who's Chinese. And he just reminded me because I was telling somebody the story the other night. Because every time he sees me, he goes like this to me. He goes, "Hey, Paulie, how you doing? Hey, Paulie." I'm not making it up. He goes, "Hey," and then he starts to like, "Hey, how you doing, Paulie?"
He's got the
whole like nothing worse than a Chinese guy trying to do a mafia guy. "Hey, Paul," like it really was just like he was having a stroke or a seizure, and he goes, "Hey, Paulie," and I just remember saying, "I'm like." He's talking to me like I'm Joe Pesci in Goodfellas. Like, I don't talk like that. Like, where does this come from? And then, you know, it's just the whole thing.
Especially, you know, people in the know about such matters, they know that the Mercurio is actually Italian for mensch. Yeah, that guy, Paulie, he's a mensch. He's a good guy.
my grandfather used to pinch my grandfather used to pinch my cheek. Some people think I'm Jewish.
That's what I say. You're a mensch. You're a good guy.
No, it's because I'm nasally and I drone on, I think. And, you know, I'll take you to the jewelry district. You'll see all the Hasidic Jews and the diamonds everywhere. Sometimes there are mattresses on the street that could get you excited. I know you're a big betting guy. By the way, my cousin Bobby was selling mattresses. The guy I've talked about him, he's in the mob and he was trying to make extra money. So he would go to the dump.
He would go to the mattresses. Really,
he would literally. There you go. I set you up, and he'd have some guy, like a guy that he knew. He'd pay $50 a mattress, and then he would go and have the mattresses like resurfaced with new fabric. Never cleaned them, and he was charging people $500 a mattress. Like this is like it completely illegal, completely disgusting. And that's what you're going to sleep on when you come to my apartment. So enjoy that.
By the way, in case you haven't noticed, I have a very subtle indicator that Paul and I have become good friends, old friends. We make each other laugh. The comfort level is such that I have passed the infamous Paul Mercurio lean forward, lean back test. Notice that he started way up on the camera, but now he's all the way back here his head is in the palm tree. When we started this episode, he was right up here like this.
Can I get them?
Now he's all the way back.
Can I get a Mai Tai? Is that asking too much? Can I get a Mai Tai and some beef bouillon crushed into a paste that goes on toast? Please. I knew this was going to be fun. All right. So Jason Carr Drive, 9 a.m. then Overdrive every morning, and then 9 p.m. the Overdrive. How do you do two in a day? How do you do two a day?
I'm dedicated to my craft.
Your wife just wants you in another part of the house. She's like, go down and be a little playroom. Yeah, by the way, your set looks great.
And Thank you very much.
It looks like you got seven TVs. So when does the rocket take off from NASA? Look, you look like...
Hey, I got a thing. I got a thing. I have to check on the refrigeration for the coffee table. Every so often it needs to be,
you gotta get it going.
No, I'm kidding.
So I'm going to see you soon. This is going to go up and then we'll have some fun when I come to town and we'll figure it out. And, what else? Is there anything else that you want to impart on our guests, on our viewers?
Yes, I do want to say this. I'm glad that you once again set me up, and this time not for a joke. If you're at all familiar with the individual who, on the surface, very funny guy, very engaging presence on camera and in comedy clubs or vice versa. But what you don't know about Paul Mercurio is he's the real deal. Like, those of us who ply our trade in local media, be it Detroit or Houston or Atlanta or Seattle or Phoenix or Chicago or wherever, we know that in the ecosystem that is information, show business, news, and all that stuff, that we occupy a very specific place in our locality. And we understand that your various celebs will come to town with a show or to promote something, and you might be fortunate enough to get them on your little talk show in Market 12 or whatever Detroit is now. Sometimes they're friendly and sometimes they're not friendly. And sometimes you can tell that they're polished, like, a fine Petoskey stone. And other times they're a little rough around the edges. But in Paul's case, I will say this about Paul Mercurio, fine human being that he is, has never once in the almost decade and a half that I've known him made me feel like, oh, who's this local yokel idiot that I have to do 5 or 6 minutes on his show and make him laugh. And thank God that's over. Now I get to go do what I do at the comedy castle. Always like a generous laugh. Like, I love setting Paul up, but Paul always laughs at my lame jokes. And the affection is mutual. It's real. And jokes aside, I appreciate that you thought enough of me to have me on the show today when nobody outside of Detroit or Michigan knows who the hell I am. So,
I mean, I would never, say, who's just local, whatever, to your face. I've said it to my wife a lot. She's looking at my press schedule.
I should have known better than to be all sincere.
No, that's really nice of you to say it. It makes me feel a little awkward, but like, I'm not saying I really like doing morning TV. There's something about it that's like relaxed and fun. And I feel sometimes when you go in as the comedian, like the crew wants to have a good laugh and they want to break out of the segments a little bit. So sometimes I try to just break out of the segment, just to kind of make it feel like almost like Letterman used to do, like this sort of organized chaos, because I think that grabs you, because the cadence of a show can be very kind of, can lull people into, okay, there's this segment and there's this segment, and it's fine and they're all well produced. But with you, it's different because there's nobody that I do this with around the country that just I had this instantaneous connection with. Like, we knew each other. You're like the guys that I went to high school with. We just riff, bust each other's chops a little bit, set each other up, and just, there's no competition. Sometimes you'll be interviewed by somebody and they're kind of competing. You could tell they're like, especially
right,
FM, like hard rock jocks. Like, yeah. And I had this one guy who, like on the air, was like basically just cock blocking me, like
I'm trying to do a couple of jokes, and then I lit into him on the air, and I go, you know, you're not a nice person. I go, you know what? I'm never coming back here again. I don't need this. But you've never been like that. So, I mean, I just think it's weird that you do most of your interviews with just boxer shorts and no pants, but that's your choice as an artist, as a journalist, as an Emmy Award winner. No, it's like, and I'm not just saying that because we're on together. Like, there isn't anybody else that I do this with in the mornings where you go, especially TV, where it's just like, whenever I come in to do your show, it's just like, oh, this isn't going to be work at all. This is going to be like crazy fun. I always just get bummed out because it's always short, right? And then we got to go.
Well, that's why it was so much fun when you were on the show, whatever it's been, 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago, or last week, whatever. I don't know. And you were on for, you know, like a good 30 minutes. And then when you're on, when you come to town, you'll be on for the full hour. So,
yeah.
Paul, this has been a real pleasure. Thank you so much. I'm honored.
Absolutely, my friend. So Jason Carr Drive, and it's actually there. And it's actually not in reverse, but you do have an ass for a face. And and that's 9 a.m. every morning, and 9 p.m. is Jason Carr Overdrive. And we have got one more to fill out the bracket for the comedy of 1970 to 80. So check that out at Jason Carr TV on Facebook. We got it all?
You got it.
All right. This is great, man. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
There you go. That's my buddy, Jason Carr. I'm going to be seeing him when I go out to Royal Oak, Michigan, Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle, October 12th to the 14th. Go to Mark Ridley's website, Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle website, or my website, paulmercurio.com, for tickets. And we will see you guys next week.